Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Anti-Israel demonstrations on several college campuses. We have the story.
Opening statements in Trump's hush money trial. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Varsity baseball season suspended at Valley Center High. I'm Dan O'Neill.
Testimony will continue in the hush money trial of former President Trump in New York City.
The trial's first witness, ex-National Enquirer publisher David Pecker, will be back on the stand today. He is expected to discuss the catch-and-kill strategy to hide damaging stories during the former president's 2016 campaign. That includes adult film actress Stormy Daniels' claim of an affair. Former President Trump on Monday said there was no fraud, just legal expenses.
It's a case as to bookkeeping, which is a very minor thing.
The state will also call as a witness former fixer Michael Cohen, whose credibility the defense has already attacked. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
Student protesters and police battle as NYU requests the New York Police Department to gain control of what the university described as a disorderly anti-Israel protest.
Police say numerous people were arrested Monday night as an anti-Israel protest escalated at New York University. The arrest followed a request from NYU for police to clear Gould Plaza of people refusing orders to leave the area. Many of the protesters yelling "shame on you" at police as they began to arrest demonstrators. Within an hour of the arrest, the demonstration had largely fizzled out. Many pro-Palestine demonstrations have been taking place throughout the U.S. at universities as the war in the Middle East continues to rage on. Ted Lindner, Fox News.
The Valley Center High School varsity baseball team has been suspended due to an animal cruelty investigation.
District officials sent a statement to all Valley Center High School families Monday afternoon, stating in part that the varsity baseball season has been suspended due to an active police investigation. Administrators say they were alerted of an incident involving possible animal cruelty on the part of the entire Hornet varsity baseball team and the entire coaching staff on USD 262 property. Law enforcement was notified and the rest of the season was suspended. However, a final decision regarding the remainder of the baseball season will be made pending the outcome of the investigation. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
A request for a resentencing hearing for two Wichita brothers awaiting execution for a quadruple killing from more than 23 years ago has been denied. Last year, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to request a formal resentencing hearing for Jonathan and Reginald Carr, a decision that came a little less than a year after the Kansas Supreme Court ruled that the brothers had received fair trials and upheld their death sentences. In making yesterday's decision, Sedgwick County Chief Judge Jeffrey Gehring said the Supreme Court did not order a new sentencing in this case and ruled that he doesn't have the power to move forward with such a hearing.
I don't think that I have jurisdiction to resentence Mr. Reginald Carr or Jonathan Carr on either case, so the motion will be denied.
Attorneys for the Carr brothers say they plan to appeal.
Wichita Public Schools held a pair of listening sessions last night to hear what parents had to say about the closing of six public school buildings at the end of the year. School Board President Stan Reeser says they want to hear from the public before they finalize any plans.
We have to have a broad groundwork to start with, and then we can start building the details on that once we kind of know what the public is thinking.
Two more listening sessions are being held today. The first starts at 5:30 p.m. at West High School. Second will be at North High. That one begins at 7:30.
Police say a man and a woman were involved in an argument which led to a shooting in southeast Wichita Sunday night in the 2500 block of East Sider. A 62-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of aggravated battery, aggravated assault, and discharge into an occupied dwelling. A woman was hospitalized in critical condition. She is expected to survive.
KNSS News Time now, 7:04, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock.
road game again against a nationally ranked team for soccer baseball tonight. We'll preview that coming up in sports.
Fentanyl seizures are surging in Colorado. That story coming up on the KNSS Sporting News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted now, 7:07, 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. Two people face charges of turkey poaching in Miami County, Kansas. A landowner reported the pair was illegally hunting on his property Saturday. Wildlife and Parks says a game warden seized three dead turkeys and three rifles. The pair arrested on suspicion of multiple wildlife violations.
Fentanyl seizures surging in Colorado as cartels spread to new regions.
The DEA says cartels are moving larger amounts of the drug into new areas, and that in addition to Colorado, agents have been making more busts in Utah, Wyoming, and Montana, and that there's an influx of street gangs from Detroit and the East Coast coming in to sell the fentanyl. Using fentanyl is extremely dangerous. The DEA says 7 out of every 10 illicit pills now contain deadly doses. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Supreme Court justices are considering a city's ability to crack down on homeless people sleeping outside in public.
Attorney Kelsey Corcoran says a camping ban ordinance in Grant Pass, Oregon, amounts to cruel and unusual punishment.
The ordinance is by design make it physically impossible for homeless people to live in Grants Pass without facing endless fines and jail time.
But justices appeared split. Chief Justice John Roberts questioned if the court should weigh in on competing policy priorities.
Do you build the homeless shelter or do you take care of the lead pipes? What is there isn't enough fire protection? Which one do you prioritize?
Justice Elena Kagan suggested if a homeless person has nowhere to go, sleeping in public is like breathing in public. A decision is expected before the court's term ends this summer. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
A lawsuit has been filed against a state that the plaintiffs say isn't doing enough to combat climate change.
A youth organization and a pair of environmental groups are suing the state of Maine to try and force the state to reduce carbon emissions in the era of climate change. Maine Youth Action, the Conservation Law Foundation, and the Sierra Club filing their lawsuit in state court. It says the Maine Department of Environmental Protection is under an existing and ongoing statutory obligation to reduce emissions and has failed to do so. The Maine lawsuit says the state must enact new rules that cut emissions for cars and trucks to make good on promises made by the Maine legislature. John Saucier, Fox News.
You now have more options on the type of Kansas tag designed to put on your vehicle. A bill was signed into law Monday that will allow you to pay a little extra to have the Chiefs, Royals, or Sedgwick County Zoo on your license plate. Tags will cost between $25 and $100 and will be available beginning in January. KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Oh, that's just great. Just in time for me. I got my new plate yesterday.
Too bad.
Yep, so left out on that one. Traffic here in the Wichita area right now. For the most part, the traffic volumes are picking up, but things are looking fairly good out there on the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras. Just a heads up, firefighters still on the scene of that fire in the 300 block of South Patty. And, of course, that is South Patty is between Hydraulic and Washington, just north of Kellogg. Watch for a slowdown in the area. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Now the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronell Williams. Good morning, Ronell.
Hey, good morning, Steve and Ted. How you guys doing?
Doing just fine this morning.
Tuesday-rific.
Yeah. That.
I'll go with it. I'm not mad at that. I'll go with Tuesday-rific. You know, of course, we had to get through more of that wind yesterday, but then that breeze, that strong, gusty breeze, relaxing quite a bit while a lot of us were resting, sleeping late last night. Still going to be a breezy day out there. I don't expect it to be as gusty, especially because we don't have any wind alerts. So I'm just trying to put things in perspective for you. We still could see some of those gusts getting up to 25, pushing 30 miles an hour, but again, not going to be like yesterday. Very, very small chance that we maybe see a passing shower during our morning hours, but right now that's not looking likely. I do expect this to stay pretty dry under a partly cloudy sky. as we go throughout much of the day. Pleasantly warm, too, with a high of 76. Increasing clouds tonight, leading to another small chance of seeing a passing shower or non-severe storm. Low of 49. That chill by early tomorrow morning, not really going to be all that bad since we'll only drop down close to 50. A little bit cooler when it comes to our high, though, dropping down to 70 degrees. A front dipping all the way down to our south, allowing for some slightly cooler air to move in. But mind you, our average high today, 70 degrees, and that's what we're going to drop down to tomorrow after we get through Wednesday, expecting temperatures to be a lot warmer than that. We'll also have a slightly better chance of seeing some showers and storms during at least the early part of the day tomorrow. Once we get into the afternoon, early evening hours may not be completely dry out there, but it's just not looking as active. And then once we get into Thursday, we're back into needing to make sure that we're being weather aware. That's going to be our next severe risk. Late afternoon, evening hours is especially when we'll need to keep an eye on things. There could be a few thunderstorms around early on in the day as well as we begin Thursday, and we may need to keep an eye on those storms too. 72 degrees for the high on Thursday as well. 10 degree jump in our temperatures, 82 on Friday, with a 50% chance of showers and storms. Once again, those late afternoon, evening hours, needing to keep an eye on things when it comes to another severe risk. And then, yet again, another severe risk for Saturday, 84 degrees, still staying pretty warm out there, with a 40% chance of showers and storms, some of which could be strong to severe. And it looks like those late afternoon, evening hours again. Now, once we get to Sunday, there could be a spotty shower, thunderstorm around, but this system going to start to finally pull away from us. That's going to lead to drier skies by the time we get into our Monday. A little bit cooler by this point in time, but 77 degrees, still fairly warm for this time of year. Right now, we're at 53. With a partly cloudy to mostly cloudy sky, south breeze at 13 miles an hour, and mainly dry out there.
All right, thank you, Ronell. That's the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronell Williams. Steve at 10 in the morning here on this Tuesday morning, April 23rd. A windy day yesterday, plenty of sunshine, high around 73 degrees, normal high of 70. And we did have a wind gust of 49 miles per hour from the south. That was clocked at Eisenhower Airport, of course. On this date in 1989, Salina, Kansas was the hot spot in the nation with a high of 105 degrees. High was also an April record for the state of Kansas,
yeah.
105. All right, Dan, on this date in 1969, Sirhan Sirhan was sentenced to death for assassinating New York Senator Robert F. Kennedy. Sentence was later reduced to life imprisonment. Sirhan still serving time out in California. He's now 80 years old. Sirhan Sirhan, 1969. Lee Majors is having a birthday today.
He's Lee Majors. Not young.
He's 85.
Oh, my. But he's the $6 million man. Yeah. So
he's Colonel Steve Austin on the $6 million man. So most of his parts are almost brand new, right?
Well, or 50 years old. Anyway.
Well, I guess so. Yeah, they're starting to wear out, too. Lee Majors, 85.
85.
Today.
Former husband of?
Farrah Fawcett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A zoo ostrich named Karen has died after swallowing a staff member's keys. The Topeka Zoo and Conservation Center announced the bird's death in a social media post Friday. The zoo said the ostrich had reached past her exhibit's fence and grabbed and swallowed an employee's keys. Zoo staff consulted with experts nationwide for help, but ultimately euthanized the ostrich, who had been at the zoo since March of 2023. The zoo said it is taking appropriate actions regarding the team member involved and plans to review and enhance its safety protocols for its animals. Apparently, a set of keys doesn't go down that big ostrich throat very well. Eww. That must have been nasty.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. One more item for you this morning before we go to sports. A teacher gave out vocabulary words in a classroom, and that list included the word alien. When a student asked if that meant space alien or illegal aliens without green cards, that student was suspended. As first reported by the newspaper Carolina Journal, Christian McGee was suspended from Central Davidson High School in Lexington, North Carolina, for 3 days last week after he allegedly said illegal alien during an English class assignment. I'll tell you what, that's taken political correct to new heights.
Well, welcome to America, 2024.
If it's all completely accurate. Hey, the story's on our webpage, knssradio.com, if you'd like to check it out. We could be suspended. I just said illegal alien three times.
Yeah, you just said it.
Oh, well, I guess I'm not political.
You're not welcome in our schools.
Yeah. You know, taking a three-day holiday from school, something I'd probably enjoy.
Yes. Hey, really? I get a three-day vacation? Yeah. Sweet.
7:17, now Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. It is sports time again with Ted Woodward. Ted.
I'm going to start out with golf this time as we look at the PGA Tour, and we look at a guy named Scottie Scheffler. Remember just 5 years ago he was here in Wichita at the Wichita Open? Well, he's on quite the streak right now. The RBC Heritage in Hilton Head, South Carolina, not able to wrap up because of weather on Sunday. They extended it yesterday into Monday. Scheffler shot a 3-under par 68 in the final round on Monday to finish it up and win the RBC Heritage. Scheffler is the number one ranked golfer in the world. He got another $3.6 million for his win yesterday.
Nice.
He's won four of his last five starts on the PGA Tour, and in the other one, he got second place. He's runner-up. The last time somebody went on a run like that was Tiger Woods, 17 years ago. Scottie Scheffler, man. He is on quite the roll right now. And former NFL quarterback Tony Romo says he's played hundreds of rounds of golf with Scottie Scheffler and never seen him shoot over 70. Audio from the PGA Tour.
I don't think I've ever played a round of golf with Scottie Scheffler and him not break 70. Ever. Which is insane. Like, now I'm actually starting to count it. Where I'm like, we got to be around 500. And I'm like, not one day you're off in golf where you shoot 70, 71. It's because he, you know, he's had days where he's played poorly and he's one over after six. And I'm like, he should be seven over, you know. Then the next day he's seven under after six. It's just he all of a sudden gets it back and he just, the next shot, he has the ability to autocorrect. It's like his pitches, I mean, he's one of the best pitchers ever. His short game's incredible. You know, if he putts well, remember Tiger? If he putts well, he wins. If not, he's in the mix.
Scottie Scheffler, another win on the PGA Tour yesterday. Again, he was at the Wichita Open here just 5 years ago. Go to Major League Baseball. The Minnesota Twins at home last night hosting the dumpster fire that is the Chicago White Sox. Another big win for the Twins, another loss for the Sox. And getting some nice at-bats for the Twins yesterday, former Wichita Wind Surge slugger, the Canadian Edouard Julien. The action on Bally Sports North.
Bat, if Julien can reach here. That'll help to left center field towards the gap. Slicing and landing off the base of the wall. Kirilloff around third. Tommy's hand and arm has been busy tonight. Another double this time from Julien. It's 6-0.
Twins go on to shut out the White Sox 7-0. Twins have won two of their last three. Edouard Julien, 3-for-4 at the plate, the home run, a double, scored twice, drove in two runs. He's batting .290 in home games this season. And it is a fifth home run of the season. That puts him in a tie for 11th in the American League in home runs. Pro basketball in the NBA in the playoffs last night. Game two of the series in Denver. The Nuggets hosting the Los Angeles Lakers. Nuggets win it 101-99. Coming off the bench for the Nuggets, former Kansas Jayhawk Christian Brown with 10 points and 2 rebounds. He was 5-for-5 shooting from 2-point range. Denver was down by 20 points in the second half, came back and beat the Lakers by 2 points. Nuggets with 2 home wins, now up 2-0 in that best-of-7 playoff series. College baseball, Wichita State is on the road tonight, visiting 18th-ranked Oklahoma. Sooners are on a 7-game winning streak. They're top of the Big 12 Conference. Shocks are trying to snap a 4-game skid. Mike Kennedy on the air for Shocker Baseball at 6:15 this evening, and that is on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. The minor league baseball, the Wichita Wind Surge, going for its third win in a row tonight on the road, starting a 12-game road trip at San Antonio, the AA affiliate of the San Diego Padres. The Kansas City Royals are in second place, but they lost 5-3 to the Toronto Blue Jays last night at Kauffman Stadium. The Royals hosting Toronto again tonight and trying to stop a 3-game losing streak on home field right now. That's sports with Steve and Ted.
7:22 now. Keep it here for a house call for health. More people are visiting the ER for extreme heat conditions. That's coming up with Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 7:30 on a Tuesday morning, 53 degrees. President Biden is scheduled to travel to Florida today.
President Biden is set to deliver a speech on reproductive freedom today in Tampa. The visit comes just days before Florida's six-week abortion ban goes into effect on May 1st. The ban will affect abortion access in the Southeast, including swing states of Georgia and North Carolina. According to the Florida Agency for Health Care Administration, more than 6,500 out-of-state residents traveled to Florida for an abortion in 2023. Florida voters will be able to weigh in on the matter in November. Amendment 4, a citizen ballot initiative, would enshrine abortion rights in the state constitution and is on the ballot. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
A Sedgwick County judge yesterday denied Reginald and Jonathan Carr's motions for a new sentencing hearing. Chief Judge Jeffrey Gehring came to his decision in under a half hour, but the case is still far from over. Sedgwick County District Attorney Mark Bennett says with two phases of the appellate process that have yet to begin, the case will likely drag out for several more years.
I'm not going to hazard a guess on how long it'll be, but I would venture to guess it'll be longer than I'm going to be district attorney.
Meanwhile, attorneys for the Carr brothers say they plan to appeal yesterday's decision. The Carrs were convicted of murdering five people in East Wichita more than 23 years ago.
Wichita Vice Mayor Maggie Ballard tells KNSS News the city needs more trees.
We got a heat study from NASA that kind of showed 17 different heat islands within the city, and that is where our main focus is right now. Last week at Southeast High School, the kids had a day off of school, and they planted about 10,500 seedlings.
And the students planted the trees in Linwood Park. Maggie Ballard commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Stephen's Head of the Morning Show on KNSS. Mayor Lily Wu is attending a conference of women mayors in Switzerland.
Law enforcement agencies in Kansas seized millions of dollars in property and cash last year. The Kansas Bureau of Investigation reports that amount to be nearly $4 million, with about $2.5 million of that being forfeited. Wichita police seized property worth $761,000. The KBI says after property is forfeited, agencies can use the money for public safety.
The Supreme Court is hearing arguments on immigration and the workplace.
A non-citizen's immigration claim will be before the Supreme Court. The man involved has been in Mexico separate from his wife for 9 years, but was denied a visa due to having tattoos that caused suspicion that he was affiliated with the MS-13 gang, which he denies. The court will also hear arguments over claims Starbucks illegally fired pro-union workers. Union reps claim the company interfered with workers in Memphis who tried to unionize. The case could prove as a test for how the conservative-leaning court rules on labor and union-related issues. In Washington, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
A high school baseball game went on a lot longer than expected.
Midland and Odessa needed 2 days and 23 innings to complete their matchup, with first pitch on Friday night. Midland beat Odessa 4-3 on Saturday in one of the longest games in prep sports history. Both teams spent more than 6.5 hours on the diamond and combined to throw 602 pitches. The game started Friday night at Odessa's home field, but was called due to darkness in the 14th inning and went over to Midland's diamond on Saturday. Midland won after a successful squeeze bunt in the top of the 23rd inning and shut out Odessa in the bottom half. Joe Morgan, Fox News.
And for your information, the longest game in high school sports history was 25 innings. And now the forecast with KNSF, well, with our meteorologist, Ronnell Williams. Ronnell.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
For your Tuesday, partly cloudy skies, 10% chance of an early shower or non-severe storm. Most of us likely going to stay pretty dry out there, though. During the afternoon, warming back up to a nice warm high of 76 with a breeze switching out of the northeast at 10 to 20. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Now, mostly cloudy, 53 degrees. We have a south wind at 13 miles per hour at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 7:34 here on this Tuesday morning with Steve and Ted, and it's time to check in with Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty, find out what's going on in Sedgwick County. Good morning, sir.
Gentlemen, I just heard the news on the long baseball game. 2 days. That sounds like a Board of County Commissioner meeting. That's pretty intense.
You guys go into extra innings now and then?
From every now and then, we go into some extra innings. Yes, sir.
Bring in a relief commissioner and... Well, there you go. What's the longest game you ever played in and when you were a baseball player?
You know, I remember playing in a game at KU. I believe it was against Oral Roberts, if I remember right. And it was like 35 degrees out. It was miserable. And the game went like 18 innings. It was pretty rough. And but, you know, hey, it's baseball. And it's kind of funny. It's a funny game sometimes. And sometimes it takes a little longer than you expected. But if you're going to play that long, you want to make sure you win the game. That's for sure.
All right. So what's going on in the county this week? You don't have a meeting tomorrow, do you? I don't think there's a meeting tomorrow.
No meeting. What's customary is the last Wednesday of every month. We don't meet. But what we are starting here at Sedgwick County is a process that's going to go on for several months, really. And we're starting our 2025 budget preparation. So what happens at the county that's a little different than what happens at the city of Wichita is, you know, we have 46 departments in Sedgwick County government. We have elected officials like the district attorney and the sheriff and the treasurer, county clerk. We have appointed folks like the election commissioner and the appraiser. And then we have all the public safety departments like EMS and 911. Well, all 46 departments over the course of the next month, the county commission is going to hear a presentation, a budget presentation from them, and we're going to walk through the budget. Manager Stoltz will present a manager's recommended budget in June, and then we'll pass the budget for 2025 in August. So this is a pretty intense process that we're working through, and I've got some specific goals that I'm trying to carve out of this process. But we start that here this week on Friday, beginning with the aging department.
Does the public ever really get involved in that? Do you get a lot of input on the budget from the public?
You know, I'll tell you, it's a great question. I expected more last year in my first budget process. We had a few public meetings to get some input, and we only had a few people show up. So what I've asked as chairman this year with our management and communication staff is, let's try to make this process as public, as transparent as we possibly can by live streaming all of these budget meetings that we do between each department on social media. And I personally, and I'm going to encourage my colleagues as well to on their social media platforms to really try to engage our constituents so that we're bringing them into the process. Listen, there's some tough decisions that are going to have to be made. You know, the bulk of what we do at Sedgwick County government is public safety. We're going to be looking at about a $5 million structural imbalance as we head into 2026. So we need to start looking ahead of how do we find better efficiencies? How do we restructure some areas, but also how do we stabilize staffing so the things that we're called to do, we do them well?
I would think the general public looks at a budget like anybody who's in business looks at a budget and say, that's really boring. Let the CPAs take care of that stuff.
But, yeah, you know, it's an arduous process, but what I continually remind myself, and I know it's talked about frequently, is what we do matters significantly to this community. Or again, you know, over 50% of what we do is public safety, and we've got to make sure that we have staffing stability and we can attract and retain talent, and particularly in these public safety departments, but all across. You know, the election commissioner, she's got some specific requests where we got to make sure we can equip her, where we can have good elections. We have other needs at other places and other departments, 911, EMS, Sheriff's Department. I mean, this is a significant budget with significant needs, and we've got to make sure that we're staffing these departments well.
What's your priority? What's the one or two top things for you?
You know, for me, it's the same thing I campaigned on. It's about staffing stability for Sedgwick County government. You know, when I walked into this job, or the day I filed for the job, frankly, you know, we had lost a third of our paramedics in EMS, so response times were lagging. The starting wage at the Sedgwick County Fireman was $14.60. The sheriff was down 112 deputies, and ComCare was down 200 full-time employees. And we've made a lot of headway in the last 15 months, a lot, significant. But there's still work to be done. So staffing stability so that we can perform great government service is important. The other thing for me is this understanding that the rising cost of government is significant. And on the backdrop of inflation for our constituents, it's hurting people. So I've got to guard property taxes. I got to do the best I can to make sure we're not passing through property tax increases and try to safeguard, you know, what we can at county government. The county property tax burden on our individuals is only about 20-25% of the property tax bill. But of that 20-25% that makes up your property tax bill, I got to do the very best I can, and so do my colleagues. I'm guarding that to make sure we're not passing through burden, an increase in property tax burden.
Memory serves, you're going to be doing this pretty much all summer and probably approve a budget, what, August? Is that correct?
August. Yeah. That's correct. Big process.
You guys are going to be working on this all summer.
Huh. Yeah. Nobody told me this when I signed up for the job. What are the golfing tournaments and fundraising?
Yeah,
things
come
like
on.
That? I'll tell you, this is actually the part I really do enjoy this part, because this is the tangible piece. The most important thing we do as county commissioners is pass a budget. And to be able to hear all 46 department leads and the challenges they're facing, but more so, and I'll tell you, there's challenges, but there's opportunities. What we're going to try to do and accomplish at 911 and EMS, what we're going to try to accomplish with more polling sites with the election commissioner, and what we're going to try to do to reform local government in many ways and modernize it. I'm actually really excited about this process and what we can accomplish over the next few months.
All right. Well, have fun with that. And everybody always enjoys budgeting. Okay. Right, Ted? Ted's taking a little snooze over there. But
no, I'm thinking about government reform over here.
Yeah.
Well, you and about a dozen other people this morning that have emailed me into my inbox, that and property taxes. So it's a hot topic, and I'm excited to engage it for this community.
You always hear about property taxes, but on the other hand, if the value of property your property goes up, chances are your taxes will go up with it. You guys have kept a pretty good hold on the tax levy.
Yeah, we reduced the mill levy at Sedgwick County government for the first time since 2015 last year. So. We're looking to hold the line again this year.
All right, sir. Thanks for your time. And, I'm with you. I remember at least one baseball practice when I was in high school when it was about 8 degrees. And I said, I think I'm going to go out for track.
It'll make a guy retire and go to politics.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Have a good one. We'll talk with you again next week. Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty with Stephen 10 of the morning here on KNSS. Coming up, the Wichita Business Journal update. After nearly 8 decades in business, Horton's Furniture is closing its doors. That's on the way. Stephen 10 of the morning here on KNSS. Stephen 10 of the morning, KNSS, 7:47 here on this Tuesday morning. Three big things.
Three.
USD 259 holding several listening sessions for public input on a plan to close 6 Wichita schools.
2.
Jonathan and Reginald Carr denied new sentencing hearing, facing execution for killing 5 people in Wichita in 2000.
1.
Hundreds turn out for anti-Israel demonstrations at several U.S. universities. 3 big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Cordell traffic cameras showing a big slowdown. This is northbound, the I-235 approaching that road construction, and the north junction with I-135. So watch out for a slowdown there. You can really see it again on the Cordell traffic cameras. Traffic update from 98.7, 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Mostly sunny and windy again today with a high of 75 degrees. Increasing clouds tonight, the overnight low 51. And then for Wednesday, 30% chance for rain. Tomorrow's high, 70 degrees. Now mostly cloudy, 53 degrees. We have a south wind at 13 miles per hour at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And our KNSS weather is brought to you by the Monarch. Whiskey lovers, go to the Monarch for nightcap specials every day from 10 till midnight. Get half-priced pints and $7 signature old-fashions. the Monarch, Wes Douglas, in historic Delano. A big week of earnings reports will have an impact on Wall Street.
Stocks kicking off the week in the green with both the NASDAQ and S&P 500 snapping a six-session losing streak on easing Middle East tensions. And as investors look ahead to the release of major tech earnings this week, along with key economic data, all 11 of the S&P 500 sectors ending higher today with mega-cap tech stocks leading the charge. Shares of Tesla fell for a seventh straight session and lost 3% after the EV maker slashed prices further in China. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Salesforce, and Caterpillar. The Dow decliners, Verizon, United Health Group, and Disney. The Dow rising 254 points. The NASDAQ up 169. S&P 500 up 43. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
The U.S. Supreme Court is set to hear oral arguments in a case filed by Starbucks against the National Labor Relations Board. The case stems from Starbucks' firing of seven workers who were trying to unionize their store in Memphis, Tennessee. The labor board asked a court to intervene, and a federal judge ordered Starbucks to rehire the workers. Starbucks wants the Supreme Court to curb the board's power in such cases.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. Horton's Furniture, a South Central Kansas furniture store for 78 years, is closing up shop for good. Wichita Business Journal news partner Cake News reports that Horton's announced yesterday its West Kellogg Drive store is going out of business. Frank and Frances Horton founded Horton's in Argonia, Kansas back in 1946 and then moved it to Wichita 22 years later. Steve Elpers and Dillman Morris bought the company in 1997. They have run Horton's ever since.
Wichita-based Textron Aviation delivered the first two of up to 64 multi-engine training systems Metz Beechcraft King Air 260 aircraft to the U.S. Navy Monday. That's according to a news release. The Naval Air Systems Command contracted the T-54A aircraft, which is a military variant of the Beechcraft King Air 260 aircraft. This was in January of 2023. The total potential value of the contract is $677 million, according to the Navy. Beechcraft King Air, designed and manufactured by Textron Aviation.
A local nonprofit with a mission of helping domestic violence survivors achieve financial independence has a new home in downtown Wichita. The Women's Network, which also includes the local affiliate of Dress for Success, recently moved into the fireworks building at 500 South Topeka. At 5,000 square feet, that space has allowed the organization to open an upgraded Dress for Success boutique while providing a new educational classroom for the Women's Network employment program. And that is local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. Of course, that building was a former fire station right there at Topeka and Lewis, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, and some local developers fixed that old building up, and it looks great.
I don't. I haven't been up on private aircraft flying anywhere for less than a handful of times over the many, many years that I've lived in Wichita. I know you've lived here as long as I have, Ted, but I have been up in the Beechcraft King Air. That is one neat airplane. Mm. It is fast, and it's propeller-driven, and it's fun to fly in. Textron selling a bunch of those to the Navy.
The Navy, yeah, for training.
How about Horton's Furniture?
Boy,
closing down.
A fixture for decades.
I can hear their jingle in my head. Horton's, remember the – and who was a TV spokesperson for them for quite a – wasn't it Robin Ragland? Wasn't she
the Horton's
lady?
That's right, yeah.
I was thinking about her the other day. Where is Robin? What's she doing these days? But anyway, it's one of those, heritage companies. We've had that Horton's Furniture Store out there for, it's almost, more than 70 years.
A long time.
A long time since I was a kid. And now they're going away. Well, things change.
Yep.
What can we say? Things
time
change.
Time marches on.
Things change. People change. Today is, I like this one, School Bus Driver Appreciation Day. Recognizing all school bus drivers for taking care of our precious cargo during the school year, and whether they're transporting your kids to school, home, activities, sporting events, school bus drivers, I think, deserve recognition for the job they do. They take a lot of responsibility.
We do
have stories from time to time, an accident involving a school bus, but they are out there, all of them, in drive time every day.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I can see, percentage-wise, they don't have that many accidents. Of course, they're big. big, and other people have to get out of the way. Did you ever ride a school bus? You pretty much walked to school,
no,
didn't you?
No, I really never did.
Yeah. I rode a bus to Hadley Junior High, 7th and 8th grade. And, of course, it's just, to me, it was my opportunity to get in front of my schoolmates and do my latest jokes and gags and running commentary. I was giving them their own drive-time version of Steve and Ted on a junior scale.
Boy, I wish somehow we had video of that.
I'd like to. I would, too. Of course, both my kids rode the bus for a couple of years, and that's some pretty good stories. I'm not going to share any of them with you. But, yeah, riding the bus to school. Every time I think about that anymore, I think of that opening scene in 16 Candles where that school bus and that kid's coming down the aisle. That's a funny, funny scene. Anyway, we salute you folks who are driving those school buses and taking a lot of responsibility. Stay with Steve and Ted coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. As always, we've got some interesting stuff for you to listen to on the radio. Going to have the latest on anti-Israel protests on several college campuses. Ted will have the very latest sports information as well, right, Ted?
Yeah, we have some off-the-field news for the Kansas City Chiefs. Not bad news, good stuff. We'll have that coming up in sports.
How about entertainment news? We got any of that?
Of course, we'll have all your entertainment news in the blur, and that's 40 minutes away. Don't miss it.
And, of course, traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.